That anthem catches what this season is all about, Advent and Christmas as well. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I got busy this week wrapping presents. Probably like most of you, I mean, I gather presents. I start thinking about the people in my life or the people in our sphere that I want to give something to, and I rack my brain, what's the right thing for that person? And I spend months sort of grabbing things up. Now, sometimes you find something that looks great and you think, who would that be good for? You know, because you don't always have the right idea first. Sometimes you find the right thing first. But this week, I set up the card table in the guest room. I brought all the wrapping paper, the long ones and the short ones, and the bags and the scissors and the tape and the gift tags and the colored markers, because I like to use colored markers, red and green, of course, and some pink. And I got busy. And while I was working on that, playing some Christmas music in the background, I got to thinking about all of this, about Christmas, about what it's all about Starry Night and the stable, about the church, about your giving, about the 110 presents that were delivered to Grace House, the generosity of people. I got to thinking about, what does this mean? What does it mean? And the scripture for this week, to do the little bit of Bible study with it, the scripture is Mary's visit to Elizabeth, her kinswoman, maybe a cousin. She's gone to visit her because the angel Gabriel told Mary that Elizabeth was pregnant, and Elizabeth had been barren. Everyone had assumed Elizabeth would never have a child. She was probably 45, 50. I mean, it was past the time most women would have a baby. And so Gabriel said, Mary, if you don't believe what God is doing with you, we want you to go and see Elizabeth and see what's happening there. And so Mary went, gutsy woman. She went off to see Elizabeth, and as Elizabeth greeted and welcomed Mary, the child in Elizabeth's womb jumped and moved and rolled and kicked and did all kinds of calisthenics. And I've been there. I had one tumbler. Was pretty impressive. It was clear to Elizabeth that her child, not yet born, recognized the special nature of the child that Mary carried that wasn't even yet visible. It was something holy going on. It was something wonderful. And so Elizabeth said that to Mary, my child sees you, and blessed are you among women. And Mary then sang this song, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on me. And her whole song is amazing. She says that God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Mary sees that, at least in her mind, she's not special. She's not rich or beautiful or powerful. But God has still chosen her to bear the Son of God. And so she sings this song. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and filled up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Sort of crazy words when you look at the value system of the world. But that's what God does, is turn things upside down, turn things on their head. And by the way, Luke is referring us, and he tells this story, back to the story of the birth of Samuel, because Samuel's mother sings also a similar song. My heart rejoices in the Lord, she says. And the story echoes the miraculous birth of Samuel and the amazing role Samuel played in anointing the kings. So we find in today's scripture how special Mary is and how surprising it is when God chooses the lowly instead of the rich and powerful. I found myself thinking as I wrapped presents, thinking about Mary and about the Nativity and about the baby Jesus who was laid in a manger in a stable of all places. And I got thinking about what my giving meant. You know, what does it mean that we give gifts to one another? Chris has told us, in a way, what we're doing is giving gifts to the surrogates, to someone in place of the gift we might have brought to Jesus. So here I am thinking about why all this giving? Why make such a production of it all? And I know you can come up with your own answers, but here's what I sort of came up. I decided that giving is good for me. Giving is maybe even important for me because it pushes me to think about other people, not about myself. To think about who they are and what they might like or what they might need. That's what we found on the gift tags on the tree. Maybe what you got was a child who was 7 years old and needed tennis shoes, size 6. You weren't going to go out and buy children's shoes, were you, till you pulled the tag off of that tree? But now you have been asked, or you have chosen, to go get a gift for someone very much unlike you. That's kind of what the giving is all about, to get us to think beyond ourselves. Sometimes I think we choose gifts for others that are the things we would like. That's really beautiful. Somebody would really like that. But what we're really trying to do is think about ways that we can show our care, our love, our interest in others. Giving to others, thinking about them, and I think doing that stretches us. It stretches us to look beyond ourselves to someone else, and it reminds us that what I have isn't mine. It isn't mine. Life isn't about me. The things that I've been given, it isn't my stuff. What I have belongs to God. All of life is God's gift to you and to me, to the people of the world. So wrapping up books or toys or shirts or gift cards, all of that reminds me that by and large, I have what I need. What I need to do is look beyond myself to ways to show care and love for others. So that's what Mary felt that God was saying to her. That through her, God is going to care for the whole world. Through the child that she will carry, God will make a difference for us all. This year, the Presbyterian Church, as always, put out an Advent devotional. Some of you have seen this. This year, they used Mary's song, the Magnificat, My Soul Magnifies the Lord, and they used the words to that song in the devotional, and they chose an artist. Let's see, have I got some pictures up? I can show you some of the pictures. The artist in this devotional book is a young man named Andrew Weatherly. He lives with Down syndrome. He's very talented. He paints and writes poetry. And here's one of his pictures. This one is Mother Mary. It's the one on the cover of the book, I think. There it is. Let me show you some of the others. I took the pictures. So, I mean, it's not as pretty as it is in the book. This is called Wondrous Star of Night. I am peace. I like the window kind of back there behind the person. It's like we're looking out at God's gift, that starry night. Passion. reminds us, doesn't it, of the cross. Because the gift God is giving us in Jesus Christ is going to be a painful gift, not all joy, but sometimes pain. Here's peace. Open arms. See the angel and the candles. Open arms. And then I wanted to show you some angels on our tree. These angels represent our three children. I got them when the children were little. They're our favorite ornaments. So here they are. Look, aren't they beautiful? Little plastic, cheap ornaments I ordered from somewhere. And I had to get a third one when Seth was born because he came along 8 years later. But look what happened. Rachel's angel came off her moon. So she's not perfect anymore. What are we going to do about that? I've tried four kinds of glue. I think I could still hang her up. Accept her as she is. Exactly. 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 Mother Mary. I don't know if you saw what was happening this morning with the scarves. Did you see what was going on down here? The children were getting out the scarves. I got those scarves and introduced them to the kids and told them that they could use them in the music at the beginning of the service. I liked it because it gives them motion and it's silent. Unless you knock into something, it would be silent. Unfortunately, the kids all want the same colors. And then if somebody does this and someone else does that, they get mad because someone copied them. I mean, so we've got all kinds of issues going on. But I thought we were singing, "Let all mortal flesh keep silent. Let all mortal flesh keep silent." You know, you got to go slow. So I thought, well, maybe I can model it for them. So I started just kind of waving my arms slowly. And Abby brought me a scarf that was sweet. She brought me a scarf, and then in a minute, was it Sarah that brought me the other scarf? Maddie brought me the other scarf? Now, I might not have chosen these colors. But I'm up here fighting tears because the children of the church have brought me scarves so that they see that I'm trying to participate in their dance, and they want to share that with me. You know, God Lifts the Lowly is the name of this devotional. We aren't powerful or rich. We don't have all the answers. We aren't perfect like my angel on the tree. The children may be fussing and fighting because they didn't get the colors they wanted, but they're sharing their joy with me and with us. And that makes me cry because that's beautiful. The writers in this Advent book are writers who have in their families people with special needs. One of them has a son with autism. One of them had a brother still has a brother that had special needs, some of which are physical needs. And I wanted to read to you some of the entries that they gave us during this week. One of them writes, she writes, "I was intrigued when an angel of color was placed on the tree in the church sanctuary. I was especially surprised after hearing a racial slur whispered about the angel by visitors one Sunday, and I saw they got up and left. Why did this white congregation choose a dark angel to top their tree? I later learned the angel had been a tradition since the foster child of one of the church families died of AIDS. It was that year, on Christmas Eve, that angel appeared on the tree. No one ever found out who put it on the tree. But when Mary sings about God scattering the proud, I think about how that angel with the darkened skin scattered a family away all because it didn't fit their picture of Christmas. They couldn't see God's picture complete with new traditions and a new call to love. And then for Christmas Eve, she writes this. She says, "The little country church I served had a Christmas Eve tradition of inviting the congregation to form a circle of light around the room with the candles while singing Silent Night. It sounded beautiful, but I wasn't looking forward to it," she writes. "My brother has a hard time holding anything with his trembling hands, let alone a candle, and he would be at worship with us on that night. His steps were just as uncertain, making it hard for him to walk to be part of a circle. And I voiced that concern to one of the church members. She advised me not to carry that burden alone, so I shared my brother's limitations with the worship committee. The holy night came. The circle of light around the sanctuary was there. This time, though, there was also a path of light connecting my brother to the circle. As church members came and sat with him, while others stood beside him in the aisle with lit candles. Years to come, that tradition would continue, brothers and sisters meeting those in need where they were and helping to hold the Christ light for each one." One of the newer songs that churches are using, we haven't sung it since I've been here, but Hope may know it anyway, and Highland may have known it, is "Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart." It uses the words from Mary's song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now may the weak say, "I am strong." May the poor say, "I am rich," because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. I'll try to sing it, and you can join me if you know it. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now may the weak say, "I am strong." May the poor say, "I am rich," because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks. Let us pray. Oh God, be with us. We know you are with us, but continue to be with us through these days and this week, that we may see how powerful your gift is, a gift that makes the poor be rich and the weak be strong, a gift that opens the eyes of the lowly, a gift that opens the eyes of the world to all that can be, and help us to see the peace, the glory, the joy that comes, the love that comes in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I've asked for one voice to sing "Born in the Night." Have you appointed a voice or a set of voices?
It's me.
Let's join in singing "Born in the Night." Let's listen to verse 1 and then join in with verse 2 through 4.
Born in the night, Mary's child, a long way from your home. Coming in need, Mary's child, borrowed room. Clear shining light, Mary's child, your face lights up our way. Light of the world, Mary's child, dawn on a darkened day.
Let us pray. You know, O Lord, everything. You know all that happens in halls of power, and you know what happens in quiet rooms. You know the whispered prayers in hospital rooms and in prison cells. You know the prayers that are accompanied by tears and hopes. And you know the prayers that are lifted up in joy, even in mirth. You know everything. And you know, Lord, the prayers of our hearts as we come to give thanks for the gift of Christmas, of Advent, of this promised child. And as we come, perhaps to gather with friends or family in this special time, be with us. Help us to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, to walk with your steps, to reach out with your own hands, that we might make a difference in the world, that we might show kindness where people are afraid, that we might show welcome where people are lonely and estranged, that we might show what hope can be in a world where there is so much pain. Hear all our prayers, O Lord. Hear the prayers we lift for ourselves and for those we love, for Chris, for Nancy and Kevin, for Dawn, for Maggie, for the pastor nominating committee, for Rod and Jesse and Ray and Marie and Eleanor, for Shelley and Bonnie and Olive, for Annie and Stacy and Nancy, for Scott, for Joyce and Sue and Bill and Christine, for Diane and Mark, for Michael and Sherry and for the Casanova family, and for those whose names are on our hearts, though not spoken aloud in this moment. Hear our prayers and hear us as we pray for our nation, for its leaders, for the decisions that stand to be made, for the nations of the world, for all those who serve in the military and far away from home but working for peace. Help us to watch for the peace that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to bring your gifts as we come now in this time of worship to share.